Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Hello, hello. We are live. And that's wonderful, especially on a Life Tuesday. My name is Rebecca Haney, and it is so good to be with you here on Faith Works Live. It's just a joy to be able to open up the microphone and talk about the glory of God, and especially the value that he places on every single human being. That means you. That means you are specially made in the image of God for his good purposes. And he smiles when he thinks about you. You're here for a reason. And I just want you to know that. I'm very glad that Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa, is able to join us by phone today. Hey there, Tim.
Hello.
What are you... And there the conversation ends. No, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
This is the beginning of a beautiful conversation, man.
I was thinking about your conversation, your comment about God smiling, and I sometimes feel like, sometimes I think he looks at me and goes,
oh, dude, that's Tim again. But if you seriously, if you think about it, and I think about that now when you look at like a little baby's face, particularly your baby, your grandbaby, I mean, to really hit home, and you just look at them and they smile and you just are overwhelmed with joy. Like, they have no idea how much you love them. They have no idea what you wouldn't do for, like, there's no way to even measure that and quantify it. And so sometimes when I think about how God must feel towards us, his children, his specially made, uniquely created from, like, before the foundations of the world, purposed in his good, holy, infinite, eternal plan, like, I just can't comprehend that. But I think that's okay, because I've got, like, a, you know, a six-month-old brain in my head when it comes to that. I can't understand it.
You also have older kids, and
yes,
you also know, you also understand the...
I do. That slow exhale, like, oh, really, dude? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can't believe it. Shake of the head. Like, I'm just disappointed now. But that's okay. It's all right. It's all mixed up in one big giant ball. That's what they call parenting, right?
Yeah.
And we've had that a bit at our house because I mean, there's been sickness that's gone through the whole crew. And it was a kid that brought it home who can remain nameless. But, you know, just that means that it's a domino effect at that point. It's only a matter of time before it goes through the whole family and makes the rounds. And so now I'm actually back in the chair and sounding like 70% decent. But I had to get mom sick. And mom sick is when you have to pretend that you're fine because everybody else needs your help. Because
right,
everyone else needs to go back to bed, but you're the one that has to make sure they make breakfast and have clean clothes and everybody gets, you know, taken care of. And oops, looks like we've got to, you know, change. Somebody got sick over there, so got to go clean that up. And in the meantime, the dogs decide that they're going to tear apart the house because they're unsupervised. And oh, man, that's mom sick.
I hear you.
I'm very glad. I don't know how we got there, but I'm glad that you went along on the ride with me. Today is Life Tuesday, which is, you know, our special tradition of talking about things that matter most, probably in this world, on this side of eternity. I think the issue that matters most is understanding a commitment to life and having a godly perspective on issues of life and the dignity of life. And I know that you feel so strongly about this, Tim, and that you are convicted on this. And it's one of those questions that I don't know if as a church we've thought about it maybe as deeply or as comprehensively as we should, because we don't always apply it with consistency in all of those same areas. And you and I have had countless discussions and conversations to say, well, if we're really pro-life, then how does that extend to this issue? How does that extend over here? What does that look like when we're talking about, say, the end of life and euthanasia, assisted suicide, those types of things? What does that look like when we're talking about disabilities or foster care or adoption or, you know, any number of things where we should be able to extend our pro-life ethic as such, or really our pro-life theology, because it's based on what we know of God and his character and how that extends to the image of God in every human being. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of when we're talking, unfortunately, about like a left versus right political thing, is you'll have people who are maybe more on the liberal side, and they'll come at someone who is pro-life and they'll say, well, how can you really be pro-life if you don't agree with me on all of these other policies that really don't have anything to do with killing unborn people? But a lot of times it's, if you can't really be pro-life, if you don't protect the social safety net, if you don't agree with me in every respect on, well, now it's COVID and vaccines and things like that. But I've also heard recently, in relationship to what's going on down at the southern border, the illegal immigration comparison, right? And so that's where someone will say, hey, I'm pro-life. Well, how dare you? First of all, how dare you? You're an awful person. Actually, I don't think that I am, but thank you very much for that opinion. And I'm glad you're alive to make it. And then the other person will say, but how can you really be pro-life if you're not pro-open borders or some facsimile thereof? Right. And so what we're seeing down at the southern border today, particularly in the community of Del Rio, Texas, which is honestly only coming out because you had a few courageous drone camera operators that were willing to go down and show you what nobody else was. And so now everybody's talking about it over the last few days, as well we should be. There is what you might call a humanitarian crisis going down at our southern border. And I've seen a few, I guess, brave or foolhardy souls try to make the comparison between that and abortion. And so I thought, you know, just for fun, for giggles, we could talk about that today. And from a pro-life perspective, so I know you've heard these types of arguments in the past, Tim, and I just wanted to, because you are the voice of experience in this, to say when someone confronts you with something like that, first of all, just generally to say, well, you can't really be pro-life if you don't agree with this other maybe unrelated policy. Let's take immigration for an example. How do you respond to them?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's exhausting, but again, it goes back to what we've talked about over the last few weeks. We paint ourselves into that corner because we don't know how to respond to it. So, you know, it's like, we're the only issue. Mm-hmm. That have of all the other issues.
Yeah.
You know, how about, I think Students for Life started doing this a few years ago, and I know you've got some topics you want to cover with them today. Laura Clawson from Canada has started doing this. Said, you know what, yeah, I mean, I'm pro-life. I believe, you know, generally what the pro-life world says, but no, I'm anti-abortion. I think it's wrong to kill unborn babies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to fix, you know, climate change and
right.
World hunger and, you know, issues at the border and Afghanistan and COVID. And how about, why can't I just say, no, we shouldn't kill babies?
Right. Like, we can have a conversation about other things, but let's just keep the main thing, right. The main thing, right?
It, you know, I got into a lot of trouble during the Black Lives Matter stuff. First off, I said I agreed with them. Yes, Black Lives Matter, as I believe all lives matter because we're all image bearers. What I had the issue with was I was just asking them to be consistent. I wasn't talking about the police. I wasn't talking about all of that stuff. I was talking about the 1,000 black babies that are killed every day in this mm-hmm. country.
Right.
And I know sometimes, everything's the pro-life issue for you. Maybe it's a reaction. Everybody beat me over the head saying, well, you're pro-life. You're not, you know, this and that.
Yeah.
Having a doctor be in the foster care system and all this kind of, you know, just it goes back to, I think, was it last week or the week before we talked about putting our foot in our mouth on the rape issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Governor Abbott. So it's not understanding our worldview and letting somebody paint you into a corner that is not really consistent. It's just I never know the right way to label these. I think this is a straw man argument. I mean, it's, hey, if you can't solve this problem, then, hey, just let's keep killing babies because you can't solve that one.
Well, that hits the nail right on the head there, Tim, with that statement that if their status quo is left to remain, basically, we're just going to keep killing kids. And they're acting like that's normal. Right. And so for them to say, well, until we can do anything about it, you have to prove to me that you're consistent by your ethic. And if that's not done to my satisfaction and you don't agree with every and all of my conditions, we're just going to keep killing kids over here. And right. you can turn yourself in as many ethical circles as you'd like to and prostrate yourself before them and say, yes, I'll agree to whatever you say. Let's just stop killing kids. And they're going to say, nice try. I don't feel like it. Moving on. So I guess we have to have a basis of mutual understanding and respect for where one another's coming from. That would be a real nice place to begin if you can achieve that. But there's also, I think, the question of consistency to say, okay, well, by my ethic, I do care about people, right? Because I believe each and every person is made in the image of God and therefore is worthy and deserves the right to life. So let's start there. What's your starting ethic? Who deserves right. to live and die based on your starting ethic? And if you don't hold something at least as strong, right, if you haven't delineated your point of view from that perspective, then what gives you the right to tell me what's right and wrong? Because right. your right and wrong indicates that some people are worthy of life and others are worthy of death. And that you apparently get to be the arbiter of that. So if we're going to talk about consistency, I mean, let's go there. And let's say, like, I could be a hypocrite over here. You might be right. But also, what's your standard exactly? And who gets to make that argument?
And let's circle back to your question about the issue in Texas.
Yes.
Or any border, pick your border, illegal immigration. You know, I'm not saying we should kill those people for Haiti.
No.
I mean, that's a whole other argument. You know, that would obviously be more in line with the pro-abortion line. You know, this is an inconvenience. This is wrong. You know, these people should be here. Therefore, we should kill them. My position states that, yes, those are image bearers. Mm-hmm. We should treat them with respect and dignity. That doesn't mean we should automatically let them into our country because we're a country of law.
Right. It's a bit of a different issue about where they get to exist, where they get to have that right to life, right?
Right. Now, as in our history, if there are people there that are being prosecuted, you know, being persecuted and killed mm-hmm. actively by the government, you know, then as a nation in our history, we've let people come in. We call that asylum. But if it's just because, hey, the job economy sucks and they can't get their act together in their country, that doesn't necessarily mean we just open the border mm-hmm. without them through the process. That's vastly different than saying, hey, let's not kill babies or the Haitians.
Right. Well, and I think what you're bringing up, and let's talk about this a little bit on the other side, because what this skewed view of rights and humanity has resulted in is a situation that is far worse than I think what just drawing that clear boundary would have been. It would have been far kinder and more Christ-like to just draw a boundary and say, here are the rules and here's what we do, and these would apply to everybody. But because those rules have been flouted, because there's been justice for some and not for all, we've created a crisis situation where people are in a bad, bad position. And we'll return to this next.
Welcome to FaithWorks Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Get out your fancy dress, your nice black suit, because there's going to be a gala. Gala? Gala. Probably depends on where you're from. I don't know. Tomato, tomato. But really, it's an opportunity to get all dressed up. And what's more important, support an amazing pro-life, life-affirming ministry. As in, people are literally alive today because of them. Agape Pregnancy Resource Center has their annual banquet. Moving Forward Together is their theme. And it's coming up in just a little while, actually, in a week from today, on the 28th. So you can still register. There's a few more days yet. So you can register now at agapedsm.com. Support their great ministry. And it's a fun night out. I mean, if you can get a babysitter, which you still got a few days to do so, I bet you can. And you can help support the wonderful work, the free services that they offer to women in crisis in our community to help them make informed decisions, prepare for their future, to help support them in their pregnancy with real practical resources. It's all for free. And it's because of the fine folks like you that support them and their work at Agape. So here's a great opportunity to stand with them and support them coming up next Week, their annual banquet. Register today at agapedsm.com. My name is Rebecca, and this is, lo and behold, Life Tuesday, where we talk about the value of life, the importance of life. And Tim Overland from Personhood, Iowa, joins us by phone today. And Tim, we were talking a bit about this, I don't know if you call it a straw man. It certainly appears to be a few different logical fallacies molded and braided together into one, where people say, if you don't, oh, go ahead.
How to define it. So you're the smart one. You'll have to tell me if that's the proper use of that word. But I always hear red herrings and straw man, and I never know which are.
Well, it depends on whether or not you like fish. Straw man is the fans of the Wizard of Oz among us. Straw man is where you prop up a false version, a weak version of somebody else's argument. You say, oh, you're a pro-lifer, and therefore, you know, you only care about babies until they're born and, you know, toss the moms out on the street. And so they create a false version that is easy to tear down. A red herring is when you say, oh, well, you know, you don't like this person because they're like Hitler. so that's a, which they're not, you know, let's assume that they're not Hitler. And so that becomes the red herring. And then you have to, like, it's a distraction tactic. So this might be a distraction tactic, but it's basically saying, unless it's using this arm twisting technique to accuse you of hypocrisy, right? And say, well, unless you agree to adopt every, you know, orphan child out there, and unless you agree with me on how the social safety net should be preserved, and unless you agree with me on, you know, X and Y and Z various policies, then you're not really pro-life, and therefore you're a hypocrite, and therefore we can keep killing babies over here with impunity. So that's a problem.
So you have that part straight. I mean, money well spent.
Ah, good, 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 good. I think the difficulty is when we're talking about something like illegal immigration, there's a wide variety of opinions about the best way to handle the immigration crisis. But I think no one should be under any illusions anymore about the fact that we are in that crisis level situation and that these are real people. And if you've seen any of the footage that's come from Del Rio, Texas, where you have thousands of people, men, women, kids, thousands of people basically parked in handmade tents, you know, crossing the river because presumably they want to be in the United States, but they haven't gone through the process to be allowed to be in the United States. And they've been gathering there, you know, much in the same way that we've seen hundreds of thousands of people. 200,000 people did this same thing last month alone. Last month. And the month before that, over 200,000 people have done this exact thing. But for whatever reason, and I'm not exactly sure what, over 10,000, somewhere between 10 and 15,000 people have gathered under the same bridge area at this one crossing spot in Texas. And it was revealed that this was happening. And so you have extra border enforcement coming down. It's become a big crisis situation, but it's something that we can no longer ignore. And I think it's critical to point out a couple of things. Number one, under the guise of charity, which we so often hear, that's an excuse that's used to justify so many awful things and harmful and hurtful things. We've said, well, it's not right to establish and enforce a strict border policy because that's heartless. Right. There are these people that are in need. And so the thing to do would be to allow them to continue to enter the country illegally and fudge some things and just kind of turn a blind eye. And, you know, this is what's best for them. And this is what's most loving and compassionate. And you're not compassionate if you want to enforce a border. We've heard this many, many times before. And as you mentioned, Tim, I'm absolutely for reforming our immigration system to make sure it makes sense and it's fairly applied to everyone. I believe in the, you know, prioritizing people who need asylum for specific cases. But just kind of acting like a law doesn't exist has led to, and weak leadership on this issue has led to thousands of people being crammed together in tents, in cages, if you will, and folks that could be dangerous lumped together with people who could be just innocent kids. We don't know who any of these folks are. We certainly don't know their health or their vaccine condition. And they're not being made to undergo any sort of, you know, we can't even keep track of these people, let alone know what's best for them, where they're supposed to go, what their loyalties might be, what their citizenship status might be. And so we're lumping them all together under these stereotypes and profiling and saying, well, this is what's best for you. Clearly, it's not. And So there's that, I think, piece of the puzzle that's important to just get real about ourselves. That we have to start establishing a law that is fair for everyone. And this isn't. This is part a big part of the problem. If you don't like the laws we have, then let's figure out a better way to enforce it. But, and this is where I think it hit home for me on the pro-life front. When you see the images of families gathered, thousands of people, like imagine your favorite football stadium basically like crammed together underneath this bridge. And you think about them as people because you can't escape it. You're looking at their faces and you're seeing, hey, they're holding their clothes in a bundle on their back. Like your heart goes out to like, what's their story? What could this, what, how did they end up here? What's going on? What's their motivation? How might we be able to help them? You can understand where those types of questions pop in your mind because we see them as people and we see thousands of them and we say, that's a crisis situation. We need to address that. That's a problem. Imagine if you could see the thousands upon thousands of faces, the sons and daughters in the womb that we just write off as though they're not even people, as though they're okay. There's so much wasted space and then it's okay to throw them away, literally. And that's not a crisis. That's not something we can wake up every single day and demand that the president address this, that we, you know, bring out some sort of change. This is a crisis situation, but we don't see it. And we turn away and pretend like we don't know.
Well, and I think I saw the numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw it was like 15,000 people crammed under this bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's put that into perspective. That's 4 to 5 days of babies that are killed in this country. I mean, I think I'm doing my math right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's right. 15,000, yeah. We're killing somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 a day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, probably more, but that's kind of the best numbers we have to go with. So it's, I mean, yeah, to put, you know, I've heard, and maybe this is coming down the pipe, I don't know, but, you know, remember when COVID started? Wouldn't it be fun if the governor stood up and said, this is a crisis. They kill every day in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crisis.
Yes. Well, and it would be awesome if we could understand that it's that same level of crisis, an existential crisis even, if we could see people as who they are.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
Brought to you by the amazing folks at Iowans for Life. They are just on the ground, basically. Ever since 1972, they have been at this fight, defending the right to every single person to live. And it's as simple as that, from the very beginnings until God calls us home. And if you want to be a part of what they're doing, which is amazing work here in the state of Iowa, you can go to iowansforlife.org. And they have all sorts of great resources on their website. There are lots of events that are coming up. There's our Life Chain events that are going on October 3rd, which is approaching pretty quickly. And basically, that's an opportunity for you to stand outside of, well, in a public place. So they're happening along several of the large streets in our city here and across our state as well. And you can create your own life chain if there isn't one near you or in your neighborhood. But if you want to be a part of the life chain events, that is Sunday, October 3rd. And there's one going on the south side, so I'm going to be over there. There's also one on Merle Hay Road in Des Moines. And basically, you get to stand there. You can bring a sign. You don't have to. But you can pray for abortion to end in America, but also for the folks that are driving by. You get some yays and nays along the way. You get all kinds of responses. But it's a place to be visible witness to the glory of life, and also to the fact that life is worth protecting, that you are literally standing for life in that moment. So that's just one event, one way, an easy way, I would say, to participate. And you can find out more at iowansforlife.org. Lots of other events to sign up for, but I'm highlighting that one today because it's coming up quickly. iowansforlife.org. And our friends at Onimus Beef would like to remind you that if you love people, then then you need to make sure that you have tasty food to feed them, because that's just another one of those spiritual gifts. Like, it's hospitality slash cooking tasty food. Okay. And they are so good at this at Animus Beef. They produce wonderful, high quality, all natural Angus beef here locally. So you really can't get any fresher, but they're also much in demand. Like, the word is getting out about this. And so they have people now on wait lists. So this is something you're going to plan ahead for. If you've been hearing us talk about Animus Beef and you're like, oh, well, I mean, I'd like to order from that, but I'm not really sure how it's all going to go, and I've been putting it off, put it off no longer. Get your name on the wait list for your order of Animus Beef. It is delicious. It is great quality, great value, and you're helping out great people. I mean, you're supporting your local farmers. You're getting wonderful food for your family. And, you know, I just don't see a downside. I think it's amazing. Highly recommend it, but don't just take my word for it. Get yours today at animusbeef.com. That's O-H-N-E-M-U-S-beef.com. Mm-mm. You're listening to Life Tuesday here on Faith Works Live. My name is Rebecca. Hi, very glad you're with us today. Tim Overland is on the line. Tim's from Personhood, Iowa, and he's, you know him. You know him and you love him. We've been talking a bit about some of those straw man slash red herring slash really weird arguments that you get into. Mostly online. I've noticed, like, most people don't come up and confront you to your face with this, although it does happen. And they'll say, well, unless you agree with me on this specific policy, and, you know, often it's like a left versus right thing. And, like, if you don't agree with me on, you know, the amount of food stamps that people should get, or then you clearly aren't really pro-life, and therefore we can go ahead and kill kids. So, faulty conclusion, no matter what. That's part one of your logical fallacy. But we've talked quite a bit about that, breaking down some of the hypocrisy slash ethical arguments, especially in light of what's going on at the border, where we see real human beings paying the toll, paying the cost for what was considered compassion and is very clearly not. It is anything other than loving people to just ignore the law and to act as though, well, there's no consequences and there's no downside. And to be unclear is often a very unloving thing. That's just kind of one of my soapbox moments, I guess, for another day. But when we see people huddled under a bridge, and we think, wow, someone should do something about that. We see thousands of people together thinking, oh, well, we should deal with that. And what Tim and I were talking about right at the end of our last segment was, what if we could actually see the victims of abortion? What if we could see the children, not just in the womb, but the children that are in danger of abortion or are being called likely candidates for abortion? People who are disabled, for example, who get diagnoses, and the moms are pressured into abortion, and then you have the doctors telling them over and over again, you know what, this child doesn't really have any chance of a normal, quote unquote, normal life or a good quality of life. And so really, you should just end this pregnancy now. That is a humanitarian crisis, as you mentioned, Tim. We're talking about a few days worth. When we say 15,000 people, that's a humanitarian crisis. Yes, it is. We're also talking about 4 or 5 days worth of abortions across this country, 15,000 people. And if you think about it from that perspective, I think just visualizing it, part of the reason that maybe we're not as convicted and heartbroken about this as we should be is because we're not really seeing it. We don't see the gravity of this. And part of the reason that I think post-abortive women become such powerful advocates for life, many of them, is because they've seen the reality. They know what it's like, and they don't want other women to have to go through this. They don't want other women to feel, other women or men for that matter, to feel the loss in their family tree, in that understanding of who they are, and to feel that regret and the pain and the weight and the depression from that. And I just think we have to be real and to be honest about the human toll that we're taking. That has a weight. That has a consequence, that has a heaviness to it that we can't escape by ignoring it. And you were mentioning, you know, we talk about COVID measures, and from a pro-life perspective, like, yes, we do definitely want to protect people's health. But what if we applied that same standard to say, if this many people's lives are in danger, then we're in a state of emergency. And we got that kind of update. Well, if this many people's lives are in danger from being targeted for extermination before they're even born or able to defend themselves through abortion, that is also a state of emergency, is it not?
Yeah, and there was a bill last year, and it may come back up, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. At least it was proposed. I don't think it survived funnel. But basically putting in all, taking the framework that we did for the COVID initial outbreak and saying that if so many babies die in a certain area, then it raises that county or city or whatever, that jurisdiction to a crisis, to a hotspot. I can't remember what they called it. But, you know, and the idea is to make the number, you know, one. But, you know, because if anywhere else, if we had, you know, babies being killed, abducted, whatever, and it was 13 a day or 10 a day or whatever, you know, you wouldn't want to have your kids in that area. So we would, so the idea, I think, is to have, you know, just have a dashboard running and on, you know, governor's website, that says, you know, today this many babies died in these areas.
Yeah.
There's a hot spot of abortion in this area. You know, be careful and just make it a public crisis that it is.
Exactly. And it's seeing it for what it is. And I think there's a couple of responses to this. One is to become convicted, or as, you know, my memorization of Acts 2 and the King James would say, they were pricked in their hearts. Right? When they understood that in that context, that they were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ, who is God's own son, they were pricked in their hearts, it says, and they demand, you know, what do we do? Now what do we do? And I think if we understand that we are responsible, either commission or by omission or ignoring, for the deaths of millions of tiny babies, then you have to have a realization, right? This has to impact the way that we live. This has to impact what we see as important and what we demand from our future leaders, number one, but the way that we interact with one another, for sure, the way that we reach out and help and serve women in crisis, that's a definite. That's, you know, non-negotiable. But there's also another response. And that other response, I think, is to harden our hearts and to say, well, I had to. There was no other option. This is my right. This is my body. This was a worthless clump of cells. I didn't have time to be pregnant. This was going to ruin all my plans. And so because this is my right, this means every other woman should believe the same lies that I've believed. Every other woman should be damaged in the same way that I am. And to defend that and say it can't be true, it must not be other voices or any other opinions about this to exist. So it's kind of a zero-sum game in many ways. People say that pro-lifers are the ones that are out there, like, railing against the tide or something. But the most, I think, hateful experiences that I've ever had have been coming from other women who are holding up signs promoting abortion and claiming that it's wonderful, claiming not only that it might be like an unfortunate necessity, safe, legal, and rare. No. We don't even think that anymore. Now we're proclaiming it as an open and objective moral good, which must be unhindered and unlimited in any way. And so that happened at the steps of the Supreme Court last week. Let's talk about that.
Welcome to Faith Works Live. Call 515-727-5842 and join the conversation. Now, here's your host, Rebecca Haney.
The fine folks at Inner Visions are doing amazing work every single day to reach women in crisis pregnancy with free services, free pregnancy testing, free ultrasounds, to give them an inner vision as to what's going on inside her body and with her baby as well. And when you see that, we were talking earlier about making it visual, understanding who, because all of this hinges on who is a preborn person.
Who are the, I say who is. The question is often posed, what is the unborn? I say who is, because I'm very convinced that a pre-born person is exactly that. But if you don't see it, it's easy to believe the lie. When you do see it, when you do see that God at work, basically, inside your womb, there's just something about it that you can't, it changes everything. You can't see it any other way. You don't believe the lies anymore. But women that have real needs and real crises need real help and support. I mean, maybe they can be convinced of the life of their child, but that doesn't make any of the rest of their decisions any easier. What they need is help. And that's what they find at Inner Visions, at their clinics on the south side and on the west side here in our fair city. And they are well worth supporting, standing with their medical professionals as they stand alongside and support women and families in need right here. They are equipping women and saving lives at Inner Visions. And you can call them 24 hours a day. They will have someone answer and help and get the help that that they need at 515-440-2273. 515-440-2273. Here on Life Tuesday, things are moving along pretty fast, but maybe that's because, you know, I've been on a soapbox or two today. Tim Overlit for Person in Iowa. Hopefully I'm letting you get a word in edgewise, Tim. You want to take the floor for now, or do you want to?
Oh, you're doing fine. I like it better when you like the fuse and then I can jump on it.
There's a change. Here's a holy hand grenade. Why don't you do it? Just run with it. So if you yield the balance of your time to me, then the story that I shared with you actually is from last week. It happened on September 9th. That Students for Life, which is a group we know very well, and is based on a lot of college campuses, could be on high school situations. Typically, it's more often on college campuses. And they are standing up against some of the pro-abortion protests. And I don't say that to be political. That's literally what they are. There are groups that are arranged, and they're not trying to hide it or ashamed about it. They are pro-abortion. And their purpose is to promote abortion. Not only that, they are political in nature, but what they do is teach what they call self-managed abortions. And so they held a rally, and they've been doing this for a little bit, but this one was on the steps of the Supreme Court, obviously in response to their ruling on allowing the Texas law to go into effect. And they have a self-managed abortion teach-in rally. And that means that they're inviting women to come in, young women, most of them, and saying, here's how you can abort your child with drugs you can order from the mail. And it has, you know, you have no doctor oversight whatsoever. You have no medical, presumably, you know, no medical information, no consultations. And so you go find somebody that's willing to sell you this medication and you go take it at your house. And I guess whatever happens, happens. That doesn't sound very pro-woman to me. That doesn't sound safe. That doesn't sound medically, number one, medically feasible. You're giving medical advice without a license, I hope you know. And I mean, what on earth, like all of the bad things, all of those things could be bad. Like, I don't see any upside to this. And that's what they're proclaiming through megaphones as being pro-woman on the steps of the Supreme Court. So Students for Life decided they were going to show up and counter that and try to be a light. And, you know, that went quite a bit like the way that you might expect. There were some confrontations and there were people that were very, very unhappy. There wasn't any violence, but, you know, shouting back and forth. And that's about, you know, pretty much normal nowadays with human interactions, unfortunately. But what was interesting is that the folks from Students for Life said, you know, they were there to present the pro-life narrative. And so they weren't about hating on any of those folks. They were saying, this isn't right. These are lies that people are believing, and they're spreading these lies, but we have to be there to show them another perspective. And so they were giving information about, say, abortion pill reversal, for example, that this is what a child looks like at this stage of development and at this stage of development. And if you get into a situation where maybe you've done something to your body that you are seriously regretting, that you're very concerned about, here are places that you can go that will give you medical help because we care about you. And the Students for Life spokesman was saying it was interesting that even some of the protesters were taking our
our material about some of these things, like abortion pill reversal, for example, because they wanted some of the information that the other side was presenting and that they won't get if they only listen to the pro-abortion side.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we... It feels like we could just put this record on, maybe just snip this clip and play it every week.
Mm.
The other side isn't about choice. The other side isn't about it. They're about an agenda. They're a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. They can call themselves, you know, a nonprofit, present themselves as benevolent, but they are, they've been caught countless times lying and helping people break the law and do things that if anybody ever did, you know, to your daughter or niece or wife in front of you, you would go to jail for punching them in the nose. It's they don't want people to know the truth. I mean, it's all about the bottom line. If you've ever seen, if you saw the Mike Huckabee video from a few years ago, if you've seen all these people that are former abortionists, you watch Abby Johnson's movie, where she took the abortion pill. She went and actually got it, at least from the medical facility, and then went home, and they left her basically to have her own experience. I know somebody personally here in Iowa that had a very similar experience. And it's a lie that we've let them get away with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, while they'll shout at me because I don't have the right plumbing, or they'll shout at you for hating your gender, or whatever, it's the shouting and the misdirection to get us not to look at what they're really up to.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think it's very pro-woman to, number one, be lying to women, but also just to tell them, hey, you can order pills in the mail and kill your baby without a doctor, and that's totally fine. Like, there's nothing abnormal about that. Nothing could go wrong.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, Abby Johnson even says that scene that if you've seen that movie, they even had to cut back. You know, they tried to make it as realistic as possible. They had to cut it back because they were trying so hard to rate. I think they were the lobby or the movie industry was trying to rate it like an NC-17.
And
they were really trying to hammer it. I can't remember if they ever got it off the R or not. Mm-hmm. But they had back some of what actually happened to Abby when she took the abortion pill. And you know, just that, you know, and the way they treat the women when they do have adverse reactions, when they call in and say, hey, this is not what you said, this is going wrong, and they say, well, go to the emergency room, can't help you.
Yeah, or they'll take them into the very back, they'll take them in the back alley, oddly enough, and they will hide the ambulances, because they don't want to see ambulances coming from a Planned Parenthood, don't you know? And they may or may not report the suspicious death in a time that might, I mean, these are coming from reports of actual former abortionists, for example. If you visit sites like And Then There Were None, and women that have told their, women and men that have told their stories of why they left the abortion industry and the things that they have seen and the things that they were expected to cover up, because it would be bad for Planned Parenthood's image. The women who have been injured, hurt, obviously the children who've lost their lives, but women who have had serious health problems, scares, even death. And so, yeah, that's not pro-woman at all. But this is where the abortion side is going, for sure. They're going to be, I guess, more amorphous, and they're going to say, well, we can just mail you stuff. If you give us an address, or you can meet us here, then we can just give you medication and we'll just kind of do it all under the radar. Because that's what they've been threatening to do for a long time. That's been their backup plan, their game plan. And basically in D.C., there was a story in The Washington Post that Planned Parenthood is saying, you get on a Zoom call with us and we'll mail you the drugs. And that's basically all they're going to require. So I don't think that's pro-woman.
That's what we've let them do here in Iowa.
Right, exactly.
The Board of Medicine said, no. That's not good medicine, and the Supreme Court several years ago shot it down. And so, you know, just to give everybody a little background on that, the history of the telemedicine mess here in Iowa, it's the same thing. It's just that they go into a room that says, you know, Planned Parenthood or, you know, Gold in My Ear on the side of it, and some doctor in some other location sits down. Call,
yeah,
and give them the pill,
right? And then when they hurt for months and years afterwards, then I mean, crickets.
And Warren Buffett,
crickets. Yeah. Well, Psalm 37 says, do not fret because of those who are evil or envious of those who do wrong. Like the grass, they will wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.